him. Discipline. The word discipline is one of those words which in these days seems to become or to be becoming almost a forbidden word. If you in any gathering of people try to put forward the thought that one thing that society is really lacking in is a disciplined life, then you will be looked upon as someone who is not willing to move with the times, or someone who seems to be caught in a time warp. And the old-fashioned, as they would call it, thought of discipline is something which really has no place among men and women and young people today. The thought being that if whatever you're doing and wherever you go, as long as you yourself are comfortable with that, then there's no such thing as right or wrong. In other words, there's no such thing as that which would honour the Lord or that which would dishonour the Lord. There's no such thing as a black and white here, but rather it is a meeting in the middle, which we seem to see so often these days, and that would appear to be what men and women are striving for. Discipline, whether it's in the home, so often it is not welcomed. In the schoolroom, it seems to be getting more and more difficult. And even in church life, it is something which is always likely to become an issue. Well, here is a chapter in the book of Proverbs. And if you were to look at this chapter 4 and figure out for yourself what the dominating theme was, I believe that many would come to the conclusion, here is a chapter that speaks to us so much about a disciplined life. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Mothers and fathers don't know it all. But whether young people realize it or not, they do know more than them about the general things of life. And most of the time, children do best when they are willing to listen to their mothers and fathers. And if that means listening to discipline that is going their way, well then, so be it. And that is what is important for the boys and girls. More and more I hear stories of schoolrooms where young people are swearing at the teachers and threatening them. And I know of occasions where they have actually hurt them. I know of one place where a young fellow threw a young woman to the ground and kicked her in the ribs and broke several ribs of that teacher. And I know that even when I would have been at school, if you had done anything like that, you would have been in very, very serious trouble. You and I know, brethren and sisters, that discipline is something that's not popular today really anywhere. And yet here in the Word of God, in the very first verse of this chapter, we see how important it is that young people would listen to the instruction of a father or a mother, or if it happens to be in the schoolroom and they've been taught for their own good and to instruct them in the things that they're supposed to be instructed in, then it is a responsibility to have respect and to listen. Look at verse 10. It says, "Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." That does not necessarily mean that you're going to live for longer, but it means there will be usefulness. You know where the Bible speaks about restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. Can't have the years back. All of us would like to have them back. We can't have them. But if we are dedicated to the Lord and walking in tune with him, then he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, in the sense that the years we do have, he can give us extra usefulness in those years. The thought here is, your life will be worthwhile, young person, and if you follow after that which is right, and it will be something that will honour the Lord. You can also look there in verses 20 to 24 or 25 there, and those verses again that were addressed regarding, well, they're really regarding discipline. And my title tonight is Honouring Through Discipline. How can the Christian honour the Lord in these days? Through discipline. Well, the first thing I want to note is this. When we think of this title, Honouring Through Discipline, my first thought is this. Every Christian, whether they are a long time on the Christian pathway are just a short time, we can all be subject to influence. It is almost inevitable that if you're among a certain kind of people, that in some degree or another, you're going to find yourself either speaking like them or thinking like them or acting like them. And there is, if you like, a pressure there regarding that. Now, when you think here of, let's say, verse 22, it says, "Let them," that is the words of that of wisdom, "not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." In other words, keep them at the forefront of your life. Now, the heart, as we think of it, is that muscle that pumps the blood around our bodies and keeps us alive. Well, the heart here really is the center of our affections. If you see someone and you feel really sorry for them, you would say, "My heart goes out to them." If someone does something terribly wicked, you would say, "That man has a wicked heart." And you're really referring to the inner person. And the thought here is the importance of remembering that every one of us are subject to, or even vulnerable when it comes to influence. If you look there, please, in just over a few verses, sorry, a few pages to chapter 15. Chapter 15 in the book of Proverbs. It says there, in verse 15 of chapter 15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." If you look as well, please, in what it says in verse 30, it says, "The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart," that is the inner man, "and the good report maketh the bones fat." Everybody likes good things. And when you think of what we're seeing in these verses here, verse 30 and verse 15, we're really looking at natural feeling. When you receive good news, whether it's about things or about prospects or something else, there is a feeling factor that comes in. And there's nothing wrong with feelings of themselves, they're important to all of us, but we just need to be on the guard to make sure that our feelings are not influenced by what we see in those around us. You talk to people sometimes and say, "Well, I feel different now than I used to about that. I've sort of changed my mind," and the feelings are altogether different, and you look down and you see that they're running with a crowd that is absolutely godless and have no respect for anyone. And they have no counselor but their own selfish heart. And that really is why their feelings have changed, because of that which is around them. And the Christian, if he is to honor the Lord, would want to have disciplined feelings. Disciplined feelings. And when we have feelings, we need to make sure that there are those that would honor the Lord. We could also think even of actions. Proverbs 11, it's verse 20. Again, referring to the inner man, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." Whenever you see wicked men doing their worst, and you've seen them in recent days here in Northern Ireland, and some of us have seen them many, many other times in years gone by, and they do their worst, and you're in despair, and you're grieved, and you're angry, and you look at those who are supposed to be chasing after them and hunting them down, and they make you even more angry when they're determined to do really nothing about it and all of that, please remember the word of God. We look at what it says again. "They that are of a froward heart are abomination unto the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." You see, you, child of God, are still the Lord's delight in spite of all that happens around us. And when you see people these days, sometimes they appear to do well, and the thought is, well, business is business, and that's the way it has to go. And you see something and it is wrong, well then, you and I would want to be very much on the guard regarding our actions, that our actions would honour the Lord. You see, it's important that our feelings honour the Lord, but it's also vitally important that our actions honour the Lord. Now, if you look at verse 14 in chapter 14, it says something that is very, very important. It says, the backslider in heart. This could be the person that sits in the pew as they always did, and they have been at the meetings just as regularly as ever. But in the heart, you see, in the inner man, things are not just the way they used to be. It says there, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Well, what are the ways of the backslider? I don't know how it is with everyone tonight, and I'm sure you don't really know how it is with me either, but I know this, if we are backslidden in heart, we shall be filled with our own ways, and one of those things, one of our ways will be doubting. Doubting the word of God, doubting the goodness of God, doubting the people of God, doubting the way we live for the Lord. One of those things will be doubt. Another could easily be finding huge faults in others that are less blameworthy than ourselves. And we could go on and on tonight. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. This is not always something which is there to be seen, but rather there is that process going on, step by step, of drifting away from the Lord. And when you drift away and you're not as involved, perhaps, in coming to meetings and so on as you used to be, you find something else to do. And your actions, would they honour the Lord? I use the example, if you were found tonight out in the streets, just walking about somewhere, or maybe, I'm not going to mention anything, maybe doing something else, would your actions be honouring the Lord if for years you were found in the meetings like this? Would it not be right to say, there's a backslider in heart, and now they've been filled with their own ways? There's not only doubt and finding problems and mistakes and faults, but there's actual visible drifting now. And one step has led to another. And brethren and sisters, so often it starts with feelings. It starts with feelings. And we need to guard our feelings. We need to guard our actions. And if we are to do that, certainly we need to guard our thoughts. If you look in chapter 3, you should read the book of Proverbs yourself. I'm sure you've done it many times, but you should read it quite often. There is so much in it that helps us even in everyday life there. In chapter 3, it says there in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And you could go on and on and on tonight about the importance of having, of God's word being something which is real in our life. See, our Bible should never be something that we only open whenever we come to a meeting. For all of us to live in a way and to be disciplined in a way that will honour the Lord, the Bible that we have has to be an open book. And that is for everyday life. Some of the verses we read tonight, yes, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, of this inner man that we're speaking about, this seat of affections, if it is not kept right, and it can only be kept right by the word of God, then all the issues of life can become muddled. And we can find ourselves being tripped up where it used to be we wouldn't have been tripped up. And brothers and sisters, the Christian is instructed to keep a guard. He or she is instructed to live in the power of God's Holy Spirit every day, to pray in the light of His Word, and to see to it as far as is humanly possible that the influence that is out there does not bring us into a way of dishonorable living. Very sad when you do speak to a Christian and that has happened, and if you mention anything regarding living in a dishonourable way, then they get cross. And they say, sure, it's none of your business anyway. You say, well, I know it's not, but I care about you. And I would like to see you in fellowship. But sure, what do you know? I've heard it all before, of these things. And tried explaining to people, and you're going to find this very, very hard to believe tonight, but a person hit me once. I know, I deserved it when I was at school, and I got plenty of it, but I'm not talking about there. I'm talking about a grown woman. And I was Well, there you are. She hit me. I didn't tell my wife because my wife would have went for her. But anyway, no, she probably wouldn't. She'd have said, well, you didn't hit him hard enough. But no, a brother and a sister, we're serious tonight. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And when you look around you, isn't it so easy to be influenced by that which is around us? Our feelings to be influenced, our actions to be influenced, and our thoughts to be influenced. Well, there's a wee word over there, and it's found in Philippians. If you would turn to it, please. And here is a secret for us all in keeping our heart and seeking to honour the Lord through discipline. And whatever age we are, it is of the utmost importance. It's there in Philippians chapter 4. It says there in verse 6, we read the verse to you before, be careful. The word careful there means don't be over anxious. We all do tend to be over anxious, at least most of us do. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see the word keep? You may think, well, what do you mean, Mr. Salt? What does it mean that shall keep our hearts and minds? Well, the word keep there is a military term in the original language, and it refers to the garrison that would keep a city. You can imagine a city. It is has lots of women and children in it, and elderly folk perhaps, and there is keeping that city, a garrison. That's really what the word means here. Garrison about your heart and minds. And if the garrison was there, it was there to keep the city, to safeguard those that were in the city, and to be a great barrier to that which would seek to bring any harm to that which was in the city. Of course, this word is implying that your heart and mind is a battle zone. It's a battle zone. And if we are to keep our hearts, then there's going to have to be that conscious effort on our part to live a disciplined life. Now, the Lord will help us, but we cannot afford to simply live in a careless way. We have to have a check on our feelings, a check on our actions, and certainly a check on our thoughts. And we need to be looking to the Lord every day that we would know that peace of God. You see, if you look very carefully at what it says here, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. When there is that peace in our lives, and we're walking with the Lord, and we're knowing His blessing upon us, and then we are being kept. But whenever doubts come, or distractions come, or our temptations come along, and the peace, well, it doesn't seem to be there anymore, because we're doubting the word now. And we're starting to see things in people that we didn't want to see. That's in as far as we're concerned, we're seeing them anyway. And we're not really sure that we want to be with them anymore, or among them anymore. What is wrong? The peace of God is not what is not meaning to us what it used to mean to us. But whenever you're in tune with the Lord, and we're guarding our feelings, and guarding our actions, and guarding our thoughts, then we will have that peace of God which passeth all understanding. And it's a peace of God that shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't ever think, young person or older person, that going out and embracing the world will give you great contentment and great peace of mind in knowing that you're just able to do basically what you like. There'll be no peace for you. Here's how our hearts and minds are kept: through the peace of God, which comes when the feelings, the actions, and the thoughts are guarded, because we are subject to influence. And as I said, even vulnerable many times as well. But I want to notice something else there. It's a very simple title. It is this: words matter. Words matter. Look at verse 24. If you're back again in the book of Proverbs, please, verse 24. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now, if you tie that in with verse 20, that very important verse, my son, attend unto my words, and incline thine ear unto my sayings. There is a huge difference here in what we're reading in verse 20 and what we're reading in verse 24 regarding the froward mouth. James had a lot to say about the tongue. I'm not going to speak out about it at great length, but he went into in some detail the awful damage that words can do. I'm going to say this again, I've said it before here in the congregation, that we say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And when I'm dead and in my grave, you'll suffer for what you called me. We used to say it in our way. But of course words do hurt us. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words certainly hurt us. And they're very important. And they can be a terribly bad influence. It says over there in the Psalm 52, in the verse 2, it says, the tongue, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully, or working guile, as the word means. And that is a potential that is in every single individual person, if we're not guarding our words. And if we're going to honour the Lord through discipline, not only does it have to be that recognition that we're subject to influence, we need to guard our feelings, our actions and our thoughts, and they need to be kept, but there is also the thought that what I say is important. And the thought here is of the damage that a knife can do, like a sharp razor working deceitfully, is something which can be very, very hurtful indeed. The book of Proverbs again in chapter 10, it says there in the verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now that is something which is to be sought after. People who have a good word and have a nice word and a word in season and are very careful with their words. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You see, the speech of the Christian, as James said there in his book, they ought to be very, very different. So while our words can be a terrible influence, Psalm 52 and verse 2, they can be a very good influence indeed. They can bring comfort and love. They can bring the gospel to needy men and women. And they can bring rebuke. That is something which is good and important when it is in place. Rebuke. Wasn't it Mary, Queen of the Scots, who said she feared the tongue of John Knox more than all the fighting men in England, or more than 10,000 fighting men, something to that effect? She feared his tongue because he confronted her with it, how it was and how she was, and still lived to tell the tale. But our tongues and what they say, brothers and sisters, can be of a very good influence. So words matter, but they can be of a very bad influence as well. But I want to look at James here and what he says in his book, because words, they can have a good influence, they can have a bad influence, but either way, they have a lasting influence. They have a lasting influence. There in James chapter 3, it says there in verse 6, but the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. The thought here is not a pleasant one, but it brings to our attention the thought of poison. If you look there at verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, if you look over there in chapter 5 and you see verse 3 where it says, your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. You see the word rust and the word poison is exactly the same word in the original. So how do we mean that wrong words can be a poison? Well, they can be like rust. What does rust do? Well, the picture is of corrosion. Can corrode usefulness, can corrode former persuasiveness, can corrode testimony, can corrode harmony, and it could go on. So therefore, the word that we say, it is something that comes out just in a moment of time. It can be a very good influence, it can be a very bad influence, but one thing is for sure, it lasts. It lasts. One of the Puritan writers, he said, most of man's sins begin in his words. They begin in his word. You will see here in this chapter 3 of the book of James in verse 6 where it defileth the whole body. So really it's impossible for the words to be wrong and the life to be right. It cannot be. The whole man is affected. In verse 6 there it says, it setteth on fire the course of nature. The word course there is quite an unusual word. It actually means wheel. You know what a wheel is, a chariot wheel or something. Now this was a wheel. The wheel here was an ancient symbol of the whole life. From the day that a boy or girl was born, right around the wheel, through midlife and right round to old age and to that time when that person would pass away. The wheel was a symbol of the whole life in ancient times. There was no part and no time of that life, in other words, that was not affected. In other words, the verse is saying to us, whatever age you are, however young or old you happen to be, in whatever area of life it is, what you say matters. So words, they matter. It does say there in verse 8 that the tongue can no man tame. The tongue can no man tame. And brethren and sisters, this is a word. It's a word for us all. Where it says there in verse 8, an unruly evil. The word unruly means ungovernable. In other words, completely out of control. And sometimes I know we feel like saying things and then we're glad we didn't say them. Well, it's only the grace of God that helps us to be careful with our words. Because words matter. And if we are to honour the Lord through discipline, we've already mentioned that we're subject to the influences around us, but more than that, words matter. It's in the same chapter here and tied in with the same verses and the same theme, that of discipline. But I want to move on from words mattering here. I have a final thought here, and it is this. It is good focus in a bad day. Now again, I don't mean to sound like a doom and gloom merchant and thankful for everything good we have, but these are bad days. Bad days for the nation morally. Bad days for, as far as generally speaking, trying to see men and women in the whole country one to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're bad days, but if you look there in verse 25, it says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Again, if you look at verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. So you'll see that the heart's mentioned there, that is the inner man. The eyes are mentioned as well. And it says concerning the words, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So how do we have that healthy walk with God and seeking to honour him through discipline? Well, here's good focus in a bad day. What does it say again when you look at verse 25? Let thine eyes look straight on. This implies singleness of motive. You look up yourself in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where it says, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In fact, I look at that chapter. It's chapter 12 in Hebrews, and it says there in verse 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You see where it says every weight? Some commentators believe that in those days, as Paul was taking his illustration here from the sports arena, in those days men or women, they tied weights to their leg and they trained with those weights on. And those weights are holding them back and they ran as hard as they could. And then when it come to the actual race, they laid them aside. Then they're able to go faster. And he says here, let us lay aside every weight. And he was speaking, they would immediately think of something which had held them back when they knew all about the runners. And he's saying here, let us lay it aside. It needs to be laid aside. And the sin which can so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do you see the sin which doth so easily beset us? Is it not a fact that we can get to that point where we're saying the wrong things? I'm not careful with what we say. That our feelings are not guarded, our actions are not guarded, Our thoughts are not guarded, and before we know it, the sin is besetting us. And we're not honouring the Lord because we don't have a disciplined life. It's as simple as that. And if we want to honour the Lord with a disciplined life, here is good focus in a bad day. Keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it is only by focusing upon Him. Verse 3 there in Hebrews 12 says, consider Him. It is only by focusing upon the Lord and His attributes and all that He is and His person and work, and even upon His ministry now as our High Priest, focusing upon those things, as someone said, that we develop godly eyes. That we become more and more determined to focus upon Him. You see, when we focus upon what is good, there is that effect. If you look there in the Psalm 34, Psalm 34 and verse 5, it says, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The thought in that verse is that their faces were radiant. Their faces were radiant. And if you keep looking to the Lord Jesus, in a sinful world, you still shine out as His. And you still stand out as His. And I do trust that the Lord will help us as we seek to honour Him by discipline, to be disciplined in what we look at. Again, you're told today, look at whatever you like. It's no one else's business, and you can look at what you like. And sometimes when you see the textbooks that have come into some schools, and the things that young people are to look at, well, you wouldn't be happy with it at all. And is it right to say that many of the advertisements on TV, you don't want your children looking at them either? There's so much, brethren, in these days, and we need to get our eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Good focus, the best focus in an evil day. But I have one final wee thought here. We would want to be careful what we take at face value. I said before, I think from the pulpit here, that I have always tended to take people at face value. It's a nice way to live, and it's great when you really can take people at face value, and what you see is the real them. But then sometimes you've been naive, or I've been naive, and you've taken them at face value, and it's not like that at all. And they're out to get you in some way, or to use you, or so on. I'm not going to go into that tonight. But brethren, we would want to be very careful, and the chapter tells us about that as well. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Well, the word ponder, you see the word ponder means to bring everything together and weigh it all in a balance. In other words, when you're in any particular situation, wherever you go, it's pondering the path of your feet and all your ways here. We would want to weigh it all in the balance. And we're out and about meeting with different people, different situations, and we would want to be very careful what we take at face value. Remember this, the devil is very shrewd, and he has, as we mentioned just a few weeks ago, he can transform his ministers into ministers of angels of light. There is that impression given that all is well and wholesome and good. But as we seek to continue to go forward with the Lord, honouring Him by a disciplined life, we would want to be very careful what we take at face value. I've learned to be more careful who we take at face value and what we take at face value. Because as we seek to go on, remember what we said at the very beginning, we're subject to influence. And you take something or someone at face value, and as time goes on, they have your trust, and you tend to be influenced by them a little bit. And if we do not keep things in check, we can look back and say, I didn't used to be here. In fact, I didn't want to be here. But it is through that influence that I am here. And things are as they now are, and I'm not honouring the Lord anymore through discipline. Now, I've only really scratched the surface tonight regarding honouring the Lord through discipline. But you can take the chapter home yourself and read it carefully and look at the references in the margin. It'll be a very profitable study for you. But I think in these days when discipline is something which is disregarded nearly altogether, it is so important for our own blessing that we honour the Lord through discipline. I trust He will help us to do that. We're going to sing a hymn as we close. It's the hymn 314.